Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. Today we're talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. It is live. This is a live internet broadcast every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. We are having live discussion, talk, and analysis of the Book of Revelation with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. In November of 2022, we have analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy. So today we're talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. We will hear it in its entirety. I will share an analysis of this prophecy, including its predictions in our time today. I invite you to participate by listening or by also listening and sharing your perspective or posing a question. You can do that by texting us at our PGN text phone number, which is 1-214-505-8719. Again, you can text your question about the Book of Revelation, or maybe you like to text a comment about the Book of Revelation. You can text us at our PGN text phone number, which is 1-214-505-8719. Thank you for doing that, Truth Seeker. When your text comes in, it'll go to Prophet Randy Chandler. When he receives it, he'll share it with me, and I will follow up with you. If it's real time during the broadcast, I will normally see that. If it's 24/7, so at a time outside of the broadcast, I will follow up in a subsequent live internet broadcast. Another way to connect with the show is by calling 1-319-527-6027. The way that that works is that during the live internet broadcast, when you use that phone number, it will allow you to press 1 to raise your hand in a virtual queue, and that way you can connect live on the air while we're having the internet broadcast. So I invite you to be with us and to be with me as we unlock the secrets in the Book of Revelation by the grace of God. Today we are focused on the Earth Reaped Prophecy. By my analysis, there are 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. So what does that mean? Essentially, you can think of it this way. At the end of the world, there's an amazing event. This event is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, descending from the heavens and returning to this present earth. Imagine that 12 individuals were tasked with documenting the specific event as well as events leading up to that event. And with those images in your mind, the images from each of the 12 individuals who document the events leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as the second coming itself, each of those recordings is essentially a documentary of the revelation of Jesus Christ. His revealing to the world in its entirety. And so what we have in the Book of Revelation are 12 documentaries, 12 prophetic reports of real events, some that have passed, most that are to come. Most of the prophetic events reported in the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation happened during a specific finite period of time, which is the Great Tribulation. That's 1,260 days of crises that will happen on this present earth. And so the Earth Reaped Prophecy is right in the middle of these 12 statements of prophecy. It is the sixth of 12 statements of prophecy. It follows the 144,000 first fruits statement of prophecy in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, and it is followed by the seven plagues prophecy in the book of Revelation. And so we are going to go straight to that statement of prophecy. Let's hear it, beginning with its first verse, which is verse 6 of chapter 14, and it ends with the last verse in the chapter, verse 20. Reading from the New Living Translation, let's hear the word of God. Let's hear what the book of Revelation reveals about what happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. What happens to both the sheep and the goats? The sheep who are here on the earth at the time of the second coming, and the goats who are here on the earth in Israel at the time of the second coming. What happens to the good fish? Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what happens to the bad fish? Those who are in the armies led by the Antichrist at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. What happens to the wheat? And what happens to the tares? So these are all words used to describe the same two groups of people, the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, or the sheep and the goats, or the good fish and the bad fish. Beginning with verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, in the movie trailer in words, which is the abstract, verses 6 to 11, and then we'll hear the full movie in its entirety, in other words, the full report. So each statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation follows a specific format that we see often in complex professional writing of nonfiction reports. I think I said a mouthful there. Let me say it very plainly. When scientists report complex events in journals, there's a format that is followed worldwide. So whether a person is in the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Australia, Africa, Canada, the list goes on and on. When you look at scientific journals, they begin with what's called an abstract. That's a movie trailer in words, again, for complex nonfiction reports, and it's followed by a full report. There are a lot of reasons that we use that in research science, but it's easy to think about it this way. When a director desires for viewers to come to see his or her movie, the director creates a movie trailer. And a movie trailer is relatively short, but by seeing the movie trailer, we, the viewers, have a very good idea, typically, about what the movie in its entirety will focus on. We see who the key players are, what the key conflicts are. We might even know what the ending is, or perhaps the movie trailer has a cliffhanger. When you think about the book of Revelation, it's important to understand that each of the statements of prophecy that appear beginning with chapter 5 and ending with chapter 22, they all have a movie trailer, an abstract, and that abstract is followed by a full report. This is the reason why you see an event reported, and then 5 verses later, 4 verses later, or 10 verses later, you see the same event reported and you say, wait a second, did this happen twice? No, the second coming doesn't happen twice. But in a statement of prophecy, if you're watching the movie trailer, when you go to see the movie, scenes from the movie trailer are in the movie, right? And so going back to what I shared at the beginning of our time today, not only does each statement of prophecy have its own movie trailer followed by its own movie, we are also looking at 12 movies, 12 documentaries, if you will, 12 statements of prophecy. And each of these statements of prophecy, documentaries and words, all culminate with the same event, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and sometimes the events following. And so when we have that secret, those two secrets unlocked, the secret of the use of a movie trailer and abstract in all the statements of prophecy, as well as the secret unlocked of the fact that the book of Revelation is 12 documentaries and words, beginning with chapter 5, 12 documentaries and words that all focus on the same culminating event, then we can understand what appears to be repetition. But it's not repetition at all. It's not repetition at all. It's simply presenting a very important event from different perspectives. So let's hear the documentary in words, the statement of prophecy in chapter 14, verses 6 to 20. Let's begin with its abstract, which includes verses 6 to 11. The abstract for the earth-reaped prophecy is, "And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people, 'Fear God,' he shouted. 'Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water.' Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, 'Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality.' Then a third angel followed them, shouting, 'Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath. And they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name.'" That's the end of the movie trailer in words, the abstract for the earth-reaped prophecy. I think it's a pretty interesting movie trailer, if you will. So we hear about the activities of three angels, one angel announcing the good news, which is that the time for God to sit as judge has come. We hear a second angel announcing that Babylon is fallen. Are you interested in Mystery Babylon? The purple and scarlet prophecy is the eighth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. And in 2023, in the month of August, for every Secrets Revealed program, we'll be talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy. So here the angel announces that in the movie trailer. And then a third angel announces that every person who has the mark of the beast described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in chapter 13, that every person who has that mark of the beast either on his or her forehead or on his or her hand, ultimately ultimately will dwell in the lake that burns with sulfur and brimstone, with fire forever and ever, in eternity future. So, friend, this is a very interesting abstract. Now we're going to hear the full report. So there's some important details, additional information. If you had to report about your life and you were constrained to 250 words or less, there's some important things that you might need to leave out. You'd have to make hard decisions about what you share and what you don't share. Similarly, in the book of Revelation, we see the work reflecting decisions about what's important to communicate about the revealing of Jesus Christ, about his second coming. And so, an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, made the decision to create for us the earth reaped prophecy, to create a documentary in words about events that are important from God's perspective. So we see here that from God's perspective, it's important to know that a time of judgment is coming. It's important to know that Babylon, a specific city, Mystery Babylon, is fallen. So it thrives today, but it is fallen in our future. And finally, very importantly, the end of the world is coming. And what does it mean for those who have the mark of the beast? Well, let me back up for a second. What's the end of the world? The end of this present earth. So we transition from the present earth to a new earth, a glorified, perfected version of this earth. Well, you might say, research scientists, how do you know that? It's in the New Earth prophecy, the 12th final and culminating prophecy of the book of Revelation, a report of what happens in eternity future. What happens after the end of the world? What happens after the good fish have been separated from the bad fish? What happens after the sheep have been separated from the goats? What happens after those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are resurrected, and those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life participate in the great white throne judgment 1,000 years later? What happens after the return of Jesus Christ and the commencement of his government and the destruction of Satan by tossing him into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, where he will dwell with the Antichrist and false prophet for the eternities of eternities? So in the New Earth prophecy, we're told what happens after the end of the world. So that's one of my favorite statements of prophecy, the New Earth prophecy. We'll be talking about it in December of 2023. Every program on Secrets Revealed, this program in December of 2023, will focus on the New Earth prophecy, which begins with verse 1 of chapter 21 and ends with verse 5 of chapter 22. But let me say briefly, after the end of the world and the transition of the good fish to the new earth and the bad fish to outer darkness, and specifically the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever, what happens is that on this new earth, there's no more pain. There are no more tears, there's no more grief, there's no more sorrow, there's no more death. There's no more death. So the book of Revelation is a book of hope, a book of inspiration, a book that includes admonitions, which are words provided for the purposes of generating hope in the face of distressing information or events. So we are about to hear some distressing information and actual events that will occur in the future. However, we are inspired, we are encouraged, because we know how it ends. How does it end? It ends with the good fish putting on an immortal, incorruptible, peak performance, glorified body, and the bad fish being judged at the great white throne judgment and transitioning to the outer darkness, specifically the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever. The good news is that if you are hearing my voice, there is the opportunity for you as a truth seeker to find and follow God's plan for your life. So what is God's plan for your life? God's plan, his purpose, his will, is for you to accept his invitation to be a part of his forever family, for you to participate in the marriage of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. God the Father created a body so that he could come to the earth and reconcile you and me to himself. Sin separates you from God, but through a mediator, Jesus Christ, you can be restored to sonship. I can be restored to sonship through mediation. We all need mediation because we were born in sin. We have all sinned and fallen short, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, truth seeker, what about the end of the world? Let's hear the full report of the earth reaped prophecy, where we will hear in verses 14 to 16 what happens when the good fish transition from mortality to immortality. And then we will hear a very specific report about a subpopulation of the bad fish. So in reality, every person who fails to make Team Jesus, every person who fails to participate in the first resurrection will necessarily participate in the great white throne judgment. There are two exceptions only: the Antichrist and the false prophet, as reported in Revelation chapter 19. They do not participate in the great white throne judgment. They go straight to the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, and they remain there for not only the time that we rule and reign with Jesus Christ on this present earth for 1,000 years, but they remain there during the great white throne judgment and after the end of the world. After we transition from present earth to the new earth, they will continue to be there. In this full report of the earth reaped prophecy, we're about to hear what happens specifically to those who have the mark of the beast and who are in the armies led by the Antichrist and are present at the Battle of Armageddon. So this earth reaped prophecy, by God's design, focuses very narrowly when we look at the movie in its entirety, but it has some very useful information. Let's hear it, beginning with verse 14 and ending with verse 20. We're going to hear the full report of the earth reaped prophecy. Then I saw a white cloud. I'm sorry, beginning with verse 12 and ending with verse 20. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had power to destroy with fire, came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. That's the end of the earth-reaped prophecy. What did we just hear there? In the full report, verses 14 to 20 of chapter 14, we heard two instructions about what should happen during the time of the Great Tribulation. God's people should endure persecution patiently. We should maintain our faith in Jesus Christ. We also heard in verse 13 that every person in Christ who falls asleep, in other words, who experiences the first death before the second coming, is in fact blessed, because when we are here, we are working. We labor to help with bringing in the harvest. What's the harvest? That is God's forever family. Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is a member of the royal race and part of God's forever family that will rule and reign with Jesus Christ on this present earth and the earth to come. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are in only one of two locations. They're either on this present earth, or they're in the storage tank for those awaiting the great white throne judgment. They're in Hades. So if you're in heaven because you are a disembodied spirit who died in Christ, a couple of things. You're with Jesus Christ, and you're with God the Father, and you're with all the saints who died in Christ. You have no ability to access those who are not in Christ. So you do not labor to bring in the harvest. You rest from your labor in heaven. And so that's noted here in this earth-reaped prophecy. In verses 14 to 16, we hear about the first resurrection. Here's where Jesus prophesied about this event reported in the book of Revelation. In the parable of the fishing net in Matthew, we're told that the good fish will be separated from the bad fish at the end of the world. And at the end of the world, the bad fish will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, we're told in verse 39 of chapter 13 of Matthew, the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. And in the parable of the sheep and the goats, we're told that the sheep are separated from the goats. In verse 46 of chapter 25 in the book of Matthew, it says, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment," talking about the bad fish, talking about the tares or the weeds, talking about those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment." Well, where's that? That's the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone and sulfur forever and ever. That's an eternal punishment. It says, "But the righteous to eternal life." So eternal punishment happens at a specific location, which is the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever in the outer darkness. Eternal life happens at a specific location, which is the new earth. So, friend, the end of the world is coming. And after the end of the world, we have eternity future. That's forever and ever. In Revelation chapters 21 and 22, it's referred to as the eternities of eternities. And so, in the end, everyone will either go to eternal punishment or eternal life, to the outer darkness or the new earth, to the second death or to eternal life. So what happens to those who will experience the new earth? Those who are qualified for the new earth. In the earth reap prophecy, we hear in verses 14 to 16 that the crop on the earth is ripe. And specifically in verse 16 it says, "So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested." Now what does that mean? Well, let's use the Bible to unlock the secrets of the book of Revelation. We heard in Matthew that the harvest refers to the end of the world. That's what happens ultimately to every human being who has ever existed. And we just heard that every human being that ever existed will either have eternal life on the new earth or eternal damnation, eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Now, for those who experience eternal life on the new earth, when does that begin? It begins with the marriage of the Lamb. It begins as reported here in verse 16 of chapter 14, the whole earth was harvested. Let's hear detailed report of what that will look like. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 17, we have a beautiful report of exactly what it will look like when the marriage of the Lamb occurs, when the first resurrection happens. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves." Let's pause there. The harvest of earth's crop refers to God harvesting, God getting his forever family. So the purpose of earth and your life, my life, the life of every human being, is to yield a crop to the Lord. God wants a forever family, and you have a personal invitation to be a part of God's forever family. Those who accept the invitation have found and followed God's plan for salvation, and every person who has accepted God's plan for salvation will put on an incorruptible, perfected, glorified body. What does that mean? That means that literally those who have died but who are currently dwelling in heaven 2-in-1 rather than 3-in-1. So, for example, you have a body, a spirit, and a soul, but you are one person. You're 3-in-1. Those who are in heaven are disembodied spirits. However, God's plan is for them to again be 3-in-1, but better than they have ever been. And his plan is for you to be better than you have ever been. Well, what's better than you've ever been? Having a peak performance body that is free of DNA errors. Having a body that's suitable for living on this present earth and the new earth to come. Having a body that will never, ever have cancer, that will never, ever experience physical or emotional distress, a peak performance body. So that is in your future. And continuing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we just heard how every person who is a disembodied spirit will descend from heaven as 2-in-1, spirit and soul. They will meet their new peak performance glorified bodies, which will rise from the grave, and they will put that on. So they will again be 3-in-1. So Adam and Eve were 3-in-1 until they experienced the first death. Had they never sinned, we would have all been born into sonship. We would have all been born in the image of God instead of the image of Adam. And we would not have the ability to die. But death is an enemy. Death is not the will of God for you or me. The will of God is eternal life. The will of God is for you to transition from this inferior body to your glorified, perfected body. The will of God is for this earth to transition from a corruptible, fallen earth to a new earth. Surely, the end of the world is coming, with the five enemies of God being destroyed, and this earth transitioning from the present earth to the new earth. And before then, at the first resurrection, you transitioning from mortality to immortality. Not science fiction, but science fact. Now, what if you are on the earth, and I believe that many of us will be here on the earth at the time of the second coming. What happens to you? If you are on the earth, what happens to me if I am on the earth at the time of the second coming? What does that part of the harvest look like? So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." So not only will the harvest include those who are in Christ but currently dwelling in heaven, it will also include those who are in Christ on the earth at the time of the second coming. So let's hear that report again in the earth reaped prophecy. So in verses 14 to 16 of the earth reaped prophecy, in chapter 14, is a report of the first resurrection. Every person who is a sheep, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every person who is among the good fish, every person who is a part of the wheat, every person who is Team Jesus participates in the marriage of the Lamb. That's when God is reunited with his forever family in the flesh, in a literal, tangible body. So Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the dead, and then those who are in heaven, they will be born again from the dead. And then last, those who are here on the earth will join those who were previously in heaven but who are now here on this present earth in their peak performance, perfected, glorified bodies in the air. You say, well, that sounds incredible. It is incredible, and it is a fact. Every prophecy in the book of Revelation is sure to come to pass. Recall that when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the dead in his peak performance body. He was the firstborn of the dead, and all who were in Christ will follow that pattern. Now, that is the harvest. That is God getting his crop. That's the point of it all. You might say, well, what's the point of life? Why am I here? You are here so that you can receive the invitation to be a part of Earth's crop, and it's your decision to accept or reject that invitation. Let's continue with the prophecy. We heard in verses 14 to 16 what happens with respect to the harvest of the crop on the earth. But what about the harvest of the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth? We're told in verses 17 to 20 that these individuals will have this outcome. It says, blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. And so a question emerges. If the bad fish are ultimately going to spend eternity in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever, why are there 180 miles, a stream of 180 miles long of blood? And the answer to that very good question is this. Every person who fails to make the first resurrection will experience death. So there's some number of those who participate in the first resurrection who will never die. And we hear that in the New Testament. I tell you a secret, not all of us will fall asleep. In other words, not every person will experience the first death. And that's because some people, those of us who are here at the time of the second coming and who are in Christ, will never experience the first death, but in the twinkling of an eye, will transition from our mortal body to our immortal body. However, for those who are not in Christ, those who will be a part of the harvest of the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, so those who are part of the grapes, so there's the crop on the earth and the clusters of grapes, those who are among the clusters of grapes, those individuals 100% will experience the first death. These are those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who will necessarily be resurrected for the purpose of participating in the great white throne judgment described in the dead judged prophecy in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. So some of the individuals who ultimately are going to eternal punishment, they've already died, right? And there's some who are dying every day, unfortunately. Some die every day who go to heaven, and some die every day who go to Hades. But they all have perfect continuity of life, two in one, spirit and soul. Now, about what happens as described here in verses 17 to 20, specifically, the individuals who are at the Battle of Armageddon, At the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's the marriage of the Lamb, and then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. During the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ will wage a war in righteousness, the battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. And 100% of those in the armies of the Antichrist will die by the sword used by Jesus Christ. You say, well, you lost me, research scientist. Where is that? That's described in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper prophecy. Let's hear some verses that clarify, that provide additional information about these 180 miles of blood. So essentially what we have in the earth reaped prophecy is that it reveals that in a specific location, a city, the great wine press is occurring. And everyone who is among the grapes will be trampled, and their blood will flow for 180 miles. So this is telling us that these individuals, instead of transitioning from mortality to immortality, they transition from experiencing life in a mortal body to experiencing life as a disembodied spirit. They are killed. They experience the first death. You say, well, why? Because the Battle of Armageddon is a war waged in righteousness. At that time, Jesus Christ will descend from the clouds on a horse, followed by the armies with an S of heaven, A-R-M-I-E-S. There's not just one army in heaven. We're told in Revelation chapter 19, the armies of heaven. And he will descend leading these armies to face in a specific location, Israel, the armies that are led by the Antichrist. And 100% of the individuals who are at the city where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought, 100% of them will be they will be killed. Let's hear the details of that. In Revelation chapter 19, let's hear verses 11 to 21. It says, and this is going to explain to us, it's going to give us additional information about this 180 miles of blood that flows as a stream from the wine press. So we say, okay, the earth reap prophecy tells us about the first resurrection, and it also tells us about the death of those who are among the clusters of grapes and how there will be 180 miles of blood. Well, how exactly does that happen? Here is the information that reveals that. It says in the marriage supper prophecy, verses 11 to 21 of chapter 19, then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Let's pause there for a second. So before Jesus Christ has fought and won the Battle of Armageddon, an angel has announced the cleanup plan for the 180 miles. You say 180 miles of what? A stream about 180 miles long of blood that flows from the wine press. What's the wine press? That's what happens when Jesus Christ fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. He will crush 100% of the grapes like a wine press. 100%. Friend, whatever you do, don't take the mark of the beast. Do not join the armies of the world during the Great Tribulation. If you do, you will surely die. And not only will you experience the first death, but you will experience eternal punishment after the Great White Throne Judgment. So let's continue to hear more details about how is it that we arrive at 180 miles of blood at the end of the earth-reaped prophecy. So in verse 19 of chapter 19, it says, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." Let's pause there. That is a very good picture that we should all have in our minds. This clearly reports a visual of the Battle of Armageddon. What's the visual? The Antichrist, the beast, and the kings of the world and their armies. So who's there? The Antichrist is there, the kings of the world and their armies are all gathered together. Now, how did they get there? They walked the path that's been dried up because the river Euphrates will have been dried up for the purposes of allowing them to travel to what they believe will be a triumphant war that results in the Antichrist taking over Jerusalem at last. But in fact, at last, there will be a war waged in righteousness, the war to end all wars. At last, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will return to fight on behalf of Israel, not on behalf of the nations of this world who have allied together in a 10-nation alliance. I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against, so who's on the other side? The one sitting on the horse and his army. So the armies of heaven, now let's go back. In verse 14, it said the armies, it said in verse 13, he wore a robe dipped in blood and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. So we have two sets of armies, the armies of God and the armies of Satan. They will battle on this present earth at a specific location. It's not New York City. It's not London. It's not Geneva. It's not Tokyo. It's not Beijing. In Israel, the Battle of Armageddon will be fought, and 100% of the individuals who will all have the mark of the beast, who will be gathered together along with the leaders of this world, as well as the Antichrist, they will be there to do what they think is going to be fast work. Because they will be in, their number will be great, probably some number in the millions. And they think that they're coming to fight the few that remain from the army of Israel. So they think we're about to make quick work of this. We are going to triumph, but in fact, they will not triumph. Let's hear specifically what's going to happen. In verses 20 to 21 in Revelation chapter 19, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "And the beast was captured." Remember, the beast is the Antichrist. "And with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur." Now, we're going to hear verse 21. It aligns perfectly. The last verse of chapter 19 aligns perfectly with the last verse of chapter 14. Why? It's a documentary covering the same event. It's a documentary in words of the same event. What happens at the end of the Battle of Armageddon? So verse 21 of chapter 19 says, "Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse." "And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies." So there are dead bodies, and the entire army is killed. Let's go back to the earth reaped prophecy, and let's see verses 19 and 20. It says, "So the angel swung his sickle over the earth." Again, we're in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, verses 19 and 20. It says, "So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle." So what's in the 180 miles? The stream of 180 miles long of blood, what's in it is the entire army that has been killed by the sharp sword that will come from the mouth, the person leading the armies of heaven, who will be riding on a white horse, who is Jesus Christ. And what will happen to these dead bodies? Also included in these dead bodies, it's the flesh of kings, of generals, of warriors. It says strong warriors. Also, their horses, men who are small and great. What will happen is that the vultures will gorge on their dead bodies. Friend, that's the earth reaped prophecy. It is a report of events in the future. I want to encourage you to stay with me and stay with us as we talk about the book of Revelation. This is Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. Today we have focused on the earth reap prophecy. I invite you to be with me and with us again. We will be talking about the seven plagues prophecy in December of 2022. Every Tuesday and every Sunday right here on the live broadcast on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. We'll be talking about the seven plagues, the seven final plagues discussed in the seven plagues prophecy in the book of Revelation. Please join us again as we continue unlocking the secrets of the book of Revelation by the grace of God. And friend, I encourage you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God, and he promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, friend.